Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio with us, the Right Living staff, who are single, not all of the Right Living staff who are single, but a representative sample. We're delighted to join you every 2 weeks on Wednesdays for some straight talk about dating, all the fun, the challenge, some particular questions we have from callers. And today we're going to focus on the world of online dating. Mm-hmm. Online dating's interesting. It really is. If you're doing it well, it's online dating.
But definitely plural.
Our basic question today is, dating today, swipe right or swipe left?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are just completely swiping left to the whole idea of online dating and to dating in general. We're not. That's why we're here. And do you think there could be people calling in or listening who don't know what swipe left means?
Yeah.
Do we need to explain
that? Context,
okay.
Probably.
Possible.
I talked to somebody yesterday who didn't quite get it. So swipe right, swipe left is basically on the dating apps, you get shown a picture of somebody that you might possibly be interested in. If you swipe left, you're basically saying, no, I am not talking to you. And swipe right is more like, yeah, maybe we could, you know, chat. It's like meeting somebody in a bar and you make eye contact or you walk away.
Right.
That's basically what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And even some of the apps that 10 years ago were more email-based and mm-hmm. conversational now have a swipey kind of feature. So
right.
There's this overall proliferation of a binary yes or no choice right off the bat, which we were all doing anyway, even when there wasn't a swipe feature.
Yeah.
We were all passing over results in Match.com or Plenty of Fish or whatever it was back then. But it's just a little more obvious, I
mm-hmm.
think, and a little more confrontive to people who are thinking about values at all as they're making their online dating decisions.
Yeah.
It feels commercial, and it feels like, I'm shopping for dates the same way I would, you know, shop for brands at the grocery store.
And I mean, what you're looking at really is just this first impression. I see a picture. I see an age. I often don't even see, I may see a couple other details. I may see a couple keywords, three things this person wants to identify themselves with. But otherwise, it's a picture and an age and a location. And that's what I have to make my initial first impression.
Well, and that's the interesting thing. Kate and I were chatting just before the show about the location, that most of these apps are location-based. You can say, I want to see people within 2 miles of me or, 10 or, the entire country. So you're really able to kind of hone in on where you are and who you want to see. And I was just noticing a couple weeks ago that I was, on my commute and on the bus, and I was, on my dating app and swiping left, swiping right, and got bored. And then just looked up and realized that there were 3 incredibly attractive men sitting within touching distance of me who were all in their phones.
Yeah.
And none of us had actually met each other or, even noticed that we exist.
Made eye contact.
Right.
No
yeah.
moves made. No swipes.
No.
Or all
no.
left swipes, basically.
Totally. Yeah, I'm not even going to be aware of you.
Yeah.
That's great. I've noticed stuff like that, too, where I'm getting on the L and I'm seeing somebody attractive. And sometimes I make the move to, I notice him and I think I'm going to sit in the seat that's open next to that guy instead of next to the old lady. And then I sit next to him and I don't say anything
right.
for the whole L ride. Meanwhile, on my dating app, I can start conversations all over the place,
totally.
Send 10 messages, no problem.
Right. But I think there's a reality too. We're now probably the 3 of us. I know we've all done the online dating thing. We're more practiced at generating conversations mm-hmm. with people we might be interested in online than we are in person. I had it myself
mm-hmm.
this morning on the elevator on the way down. Attractive man, cute bag. It's a bag I would have loved. It was a completely easy conversation to have started. He faced the wrong way in the elevator, so we literally were face-to-face, and I couldn't bring myself to say anything. So I think, as I think about the whole online dating phenomenon, I feel a little sad about that, realizing that there are ways I haven't stretched myself as much in the in-person direction, and not that I want to date someone who lives in my building or that I'm looking in that way right now this second.
Well, I think one thing I'm getting from this is, is it a crutch or am I using it as a jumping-off point?
Yeah.
There's 2 different ways to look at it. One of them is, before online dating, I don't think I would have talked to men and approached men either way. It would have just been look away, look away in person, look away online.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And oftentimes my fear will come off as standoffish, and I'm not interested, when really I'm just, you know, I'm scared. I have a habit of being shy. So for me, if I use these online dating apps as a point to get more comfortable and as a jumping off point to stretch myself online and in person, that's a win for me. But
yes.
if I use it to say, you know what, I'm doing it there. I don't need to speak to anybody in the real world. That's when it's holding me back from the next growth move for me.
Yeah. Right. So I think there's one thing to identify at the outset is what a magical solution online dating could be, because it can give us the impression of I can go out and choose exactly what I want. Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone has their different magical solution as they're approaching dating, and the same thing I think applies to online. For some people, it's like I can magically find someone who's on Tinder at 11:30 at night and looking to get together and see what happens, right? Or I can look for the boy next door, blonde, 6'2", you know, blue eyes, wants children maybe, but is open to not, you know, like who like perfectly meets the criteria I've like in the privacy of my own home listed out. I can handle that by checkboxes and whatnot. And there's a whole industry that's, you know, grown up to perpetuate that illusion of there being a magical solution here. Have you seen the ads come up for Sizzle, the app?
No.
I don't know what my Facebook knows about me or thinks about me, but I've been getting presented with ads for Sizzle, the app for bacon lovers. I know what
Whoa.
It is. I liked Oscar Mayer once in a while, and he had the bacon, the guy who was traveling cross-country only using bacon as his currency, stay with us once. So I think they think I like bacon. I actually don't, but it just...
So this is not a dating app? This is actually
no,
a bacon app?
No, it's a real dating app.
Okay.
I investigated today to see if the ad was, you know, just supposed to reignite my interest in bacon or if there actually might be men attached to it. And it says it's a real app and has a link to the iPhone, the App Store.
I think you need to try it out.
What have we got so
but
far?
I also heard yesterday that bacon causes cancer and it's all out, so
bad
whatever.
Bad news on bacon.
So we've got
Sizzle,
Bumble, Tinder, Coffee Meets Bagel, OkCupid,
Hinge.
Match.com, Hinge. I just want to establish that we are authorities here.
We know what we're doing.
We're on all these sites. And I learned about some I didn't know of, such as Carrot. The idea being that you dangle something in front of a person and they're clear to say this can be PG-13 rated or worse. Farmers Only, which coming from South Dakota I've heard of. Soul Geek for the nerds. Tall Friends, which I don't even qualify for. You have to be 6'4 to be on Tall Friends.
Wow.
So I think...
I love it.
I mean, in the world of romance and dating, that's just like so much what we orient to is the fantasy, the magical solution. And I think that, to me, is teased up right at the outset about just saying what's out there in the world of online dating. It is the answer to your fantasies and illusions
totally.
Right there.
Well, let's get our first caller
yes,
on, because I think
do.
She has a lot to chime in on about this.
Great.
Her name is Alicia, and she wants to know, how do I make it clear what I'm looking for without coming across as too aggressive or needy? So, Alicia, can you tell us some more?
Hi, yeah. So, I have a little bit of experience just using, like, these online dating apps, and I've noticed that with the different apps, there are almost different implications that come with these apps. And
yes.
some of these implications, unfortunately, are facilitating more of a hookup culture and more of, like, a dating apocalypse almost. And so when it comes to these situations, you know, I'm just wondering, like, when you're looking for something real and you're looking for someone who you can really emotionally connect with, it just seems really difficult to communicate that in a culture that is so terrified of being vulnerable. It seems almost like I'm desperate if I'm trying to communicate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a funny thing happen a couple months ago where I found a gentleman's profile who said, basically, I want to find someone with whom to have a mutually satisfying, respectful love. And I found myself writing back something like, wow, don't we all want that? I mean, kudos to you for saying it. And then I realized I had added a word somehow so that what he was actually saying is, I want to make love to someone in a respectful way.
Oh.
It, like, if we meet and we hit it off, I want to, he was saying, I want to sleep with you. But somehow my mind was so geared toward, like, oh, how astonishing is it that this man has just put out exactly what he wants that I just, like, completely read it with rose-colored glasses. I think it, like, illustrated for me, like, how rare it is to actually have somebody sort of pouring their heart out and being like,
yeah.
oh, this is the kind of connection I really want to find.
Yeah, yeah.
I would laugh at those guys.
on those days.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and the thing is, I don't know that it's actually all that rare, is that it is to be that vulnerable with it.
Yeah.
And the, you know, if he had said that, I'm looking for that real love, that would be rare. But to want it on those sites, I actually think is not that rare.
I think
on those sites you have a lot of people who want hookups, you have a lot of people who want casual dating, and a lot of people who want relationships.
Well, here's the thing, I think, and we've said this before, that it's a numbers game. So let's say that, like, you know, there are, you know, 10,000 people on Tinder that are looking for hookups, and 10,000 that are looking for marriage, and 10,000 that are looking for casual dating, and you go on and you swipe right to 3 of them, the chances that they're all going to be the ones that are looking for hookups is huge. But if you're swiping right to, you know, 3 a day, or, you know, like just a larger number, you have a greater chance of meeting somebody that, you know, may, you know, meet those standards that you have. And also, one of my rules of thumb, again, we've talked about this, is like, I have that conversation first date. What are you looking for?
Right.
What do you want out of this? Why are you on online dating? Why are you here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about that, Alisa?
That's great. I like the idea of coming out with it and kind of saying it up front. I would be curious as to kind of like how you go about doing that, because, you know, I am worried that, you know, I don't want to come off as like, oh, this is our first date, when are you going to propose?
Right.
I don't want to be too pushy about it, but, you know, I don't just want a hookup.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I have lots of opinions about this.
Yeah.
So another thing that
out with them.
Yeah. So I've been working on my own online dating profiles, and just realizing that I keep dating the same guy over and over again, and realizing finally that, like, it's not them, it's me. Like, there's something that I'm putting out there that's attracting this same type of guy over and over and over and over and over again. So I've been rewriting my dating profile so that, like, and just tweaking it like a little bit. Like, maybe if I remove this one word or add this sentence or rearrange the order of something, that, like, people are going to be attracted to me in a different way, and different people are going to notice me sooner.
Yeah. Right. No, and to go along with that, it's also like, you know, how clear are you about what you're looking for in your profile?
Yeah.
You know, because what Monica is saying, there are so many ways I could portray myself. You know, I could talk about my silly side when I'm, like, totally goofy. I could talk about my serious, hardworking side. I could talk about my dedication. These are all true, and they're all parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Monica's talking about what do I emphasize and what do I want to attract with it. But there's another piece that's just like, how clear and upfront am I about what it is that I'm looking for?
Yeah.
I mean, you said, Monica, that you have the conversation early on the first date. I don't typically. But I also find that if I'm trying to help myself get there by putting where I am in my profile, it's, you know, I save myself a piece of having to, you know, go to the same length to maybe surprise someone, because it's all out there. I don't find that men are going out with me with expectations that I'm going to sleep with them on the first date, because it's pretty clear from my profile I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How is it clear from your profile? Like, what have you said that
I
feel good about?
No, I'm just trying to remember exactly what I said. I think I said in what I'm looking for, you know, I said I'm looking for a relationship. I'm not in a rush to get there. I said something about, you know, I believe that in dating, you know, in dating people, I can really get to know myself better, and I'm enjoying the process, and I am looking for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also, it's you know, I didn't say, I will not sleep with you.
Right.
Or anything like that.
Right.
But it's also, you know, it's the way it's written.
Well,
it's my pictures.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like.
Totally. Right. Pictures, too. But and there's also a way to say, like, you know, you could say, I'm not looking for anything serious. Or you could say, you know, I'm looking for, you know, really good conversation and lots of first dates, which basically say the exact same thing, but it's different words. It feels different, and people are going to read it and respond to it differently, because saying, I'm not looking for anything serious basically says, like, I'll screw you.
Come on over. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is not wrong, but if that's not what you want, then that's not really...
Right. And I think I love hearing how both of you are saying it, because I do think that's just the hardest thing, is like, I literally kind of choke on my words when I try to say what it is that I'm looking for aloud.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a sense of it, but it is much harder to just articulate it. And I've, like you said, I've tried several versions of it. I think actually I'm realizing as you're talking that a previous version worked better, and I was having more fun with it, but it was similar to what you're saying. I said, I'm not looking for a hookup or hurrying toward a commitment, meet me in the middle, and met a lot of fantastic guys with that profile that included that. So I do think everything we've said is true, and there's another level of just you've kind of said it in two different ways, Leisha, about how not okay it would be to be needy.
I was just thinking
or
that. Yeah.
To say what you want.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of being out there is to be in your dating the way you would want to be in the relationship that's ideal for you ultimately, in which, like, God forbid you wouldn't ask for or say what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more of, like, where it gets interesting is, like, are you going to dare to put out what you want?
And are you going to be okay with yourself being somebody that, you know, does want a particular thing?
Or do you want to be a person who actually has needs but orchestrates her dating life in order to wind up with someone who isn't equipped to meet them, doesn't expect them, doesn't look for them, doesn't know them?
Great. Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Alicia. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool.
The more direct, the better.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yep. It's a challenge for me, but it's something I'm constantly working towards. You know, even as we're having this conversation, I can think of, you know, where I haven't been direct with one of the men that I'm dating, and where it's like, well, that, I should probably have that conversation when I see him tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well, we have another caller on the line. We've got Oscar with us. Oscar is calling in and asking, saying that my girlfriend still talks to her ex. What should I do? So, Oscar, we'd love to hear a little bit more about this.
Oh, hi, ma'am. Did you say my name is I have
You know, Oscar, it's very hard to understand you. Can you try switching the way that you're holding the phone and start over?
Okay. Hi. I was wondering, my question is, because he was, you know, talking to his fellow, if because my girlfriend is still talking with her girlfriend.
So it sounds like you're asking, is it a problem? And it clearly is a problem for you. I think the question is, what makes it a problem? You know, what is it about their relationship or about your relationship that makes it threatening to have her maintaining that contact?
Okay. I think my problem is... I think my problem is because I think because they have something in the past and keeping a relation together, I don't know, it can cause me a problem in the future because, I don't know, at one point they feel something for each other.
So, Oscar, I'm wondering how much of this conversation you've had with your girlfriend. Have you talked to her about how you feel and what you're questioning about her relationship with her ex?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go?
Yeah, well, when I started talking to her and exposed the problem with her about the ex-boyfriend, she didn't see any problem because it was part of his past, but he doesn't see any problem. She keeps talking to someone who was related to her. But for me, the problem is because, like I said before, it was something of feelings to each other. I don't know if they can start or can break up again, but feelings for each other.
So this is, I'm just thinking about, you know, like all the times that I've heard about something like this or, like, you know, seen it in like a movie or something.
Right.
And just like noticing all the, like all my different thoughts about this that, like for me, well, you know, it is kind of like a rocky territory, you know, like how much do you want to say don't see this person and how much is that, you know, just like where are the boundaries and the expectations in terms of like, you know, what are you saying is and is not okay with you. But and then there's also this feeling like I'm just sensing myself being in this situation and thinking, you know, about telling a guy that I'm dating that I'm just uncomfortable with the level of,
intimacy that he still shares with an ex or the amount of time he spends with her, and him telling me that it's not a problem, I feel hurt.
Yeah.
Just thinking about, like, you know, and even if I'm not, you know, particularly asking for something to shift, just, you know, like, being with somebody who's willing to listen to me say, I'm insecure, like, I'm really scared about this, this is upsetting for me, and for them to just dismiss it and say, it's not a big deal, what's wrong with you, is really upsetting. So I think, like, and that's a conversation to have, you know, around, it's not about her hanging out with the guy, it's about how are you two communicating.
Mm-hmm. I actually think it is a bigger deal if you need to say, it's not a big deal, let's not talk
yeah,
about it.
Yes.
And to relate it to sort of one of the bigger principles of our work on transformation in general, and on work with couples and dating, the idea to think about is yearning.
Mm.
You know, what's not getting said in this conversation is what your girlfriend is really yearning for that's causing her to remain in relationship with this ex. And it might be, you know, I won't make guesses about your girlfriend, but just to illustrate the point, it's like it could be I feel like I owe this person something, or I know that this person values my advice, and I can feel good because I still have an impact on them, even though I know it's just friendly. Or I yearn to have a plan B if it doesn't work out between us. Like there's really interesting stuff here if we can talk about what is the yearning underneath the desire to keep that relationship warm. And then for you, Oscar, what is the yearning underneath your discomfort with it? It's like, I yearn to feel close and connected. I yearn to, I don't know if this is a good example of a yearning, but some part of you yearns to possess her, or have her all to myself. You know, I yearn to have my one special person who's just mine.
Or I yearn for safety and security.
Exactly. And that's where relationship really happens, is when you start talking about what's underneath just behaviors and the stuff of your life and who's a part of it, but really what's the yearning underneath it.
Yeah.
What are you getting from what we're saying, Oscar?
I feel like sort of like give it to you. And also I want to add, when we have this conversation, after we've been talking, she said she agrees she's going to stop talking to him. And actually, I think she did. But in the future, during the relation with my girlfriend, I start, you know, sometimes we start talking about, I don't know, you really want to or this, or she says something without thinking and she makes a comment about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're having a little trouble hearing, so we might have to make some leaps and translations here.
So I'm thinking about, like, just gaps in communication in general.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I am having a little trouble understanding particularly what those gaps are, but that, you know, it seems like you are working on having conversations with her and you are bringing up issues. And there's something either, you know, on one end or the other, or maybe both, you know, like in between you, where, like, you're not quite understanding each other, you know, like she doesn't seem to quite understand you're upset with this, and maybe you don't quite understand, you know, like where she's coming from, and there's something, like there's a deeper place to go into to really, like, find out where you two can meet on this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And the way that we're learning and teaching relationships and really life here is, you know, there's a purpose in truly engaging with another person, and there's a purpose in, you know, in disagreeing and in fighting and in finding what's really underneath that, and using that to get to what are my core values, you know, what are the other person's core values, where do I want to negotiate, where will the other person negotiate, and just really meeting and truly engaging on that level. So there's actually a ton of material here.
Yeah.
If you have an agreement to really, you know, go into it with each other and experience each other and get to use it to really know each other better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just add, in the end, you have to do what works for you, Oscar.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's really how
how these things sort out in the end. You know, it either works for you or it doesn't. You're either going to grow together, you're going to grow apart. You're going to say what you want and at some point say, fine, this isn't working for me. That's the scariest thing about it is where it goes. But it's not like there's a hard and fast rule of what's okay and not okay in terms of communicating with an ex. It's really like what's okay with you.
Yeah.
And given that, how much do you need to flex or how much do you need to hold a standard in your relationship? And only you can know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much,
right.
Oscar.
Yeah.
It was great to have you with us.
Thank you for the advice.
Yeah. Keep us posted on how it goes.
Yeah.
Cool.
You will.
Great. Very good.
Great. Cool. So we actually do have a third caller with us. It's Andy, and Andy says, I'm going from serial monogamy to serial dating. I so get this one, Andy. How to find yourself and not think you are such a slut. Wow, this is good. Andy, please tell us more.
So currently, finding that I'm dating when I'm lonely more so versus growing from like a fear of actually even dating in the first place. So that's I find myself in a relationship with a woman after 2 dates my girlfriend, and now I'm like 2 or 3 dates a week. So I'm like, where's the middle here? How do I find, you know, like what I want, you know, and feel more comfortable? Because I'm actually feeling like very selfish and very, you know, just kind of dirty that I'm dating so many people. I am very open, you know, within the date I do. You know, I'm dating to date, and I want to find, you know, what I want within these dates, but, you know, I'm finding I'm not finding what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks, Andy. I mean, the first thing I just want to say is, like, your question's really funny, and it is really funny, and at the same time I'm thinking, well, who's saying you're such a slut? You know, there's something in your question here, and I'm wondering, what are your beliefs about somebody who goes on 2 or 3 dates a week with different people?
That it is, you know, kind of in that, like, you know, you're just. You are just looking for sex versus, you know, actually dating for finding a deeper part of yourself. You know, because that's how I kind of started out. Like, I'm dating to take risks and to get out of my mindset, like, dating's wrong, you need to be in relationship, you know, to really get to know somebody. So move from that into, wow, I'm really learning a lot about myself. There's a lot of good here, you know. But it's almost becoming more addicting. It's like a soft addiction to date than it is actually.
Yeah.
You know, like I swipe.
We get it.
You know, like crazy.
We know what you're saying.
You know, and then so it's like I'm no longer getting that deeper sense of myself anymore. It's kind of more just the. Like I said, it's like kind of a slutty, dirty feel, and that's what I think of when I think of somebody dating, including myself.
Andy, one thing I wonder, and we were mentioning this earlier about, like, dating as a magical solution, and it sounds to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you have been a serial monogamist for a really long time, and you've only been a serial dater for a very short time. So you have a lot of practice at thinking that, like, there's, you know, of doing dating one particular way, which I get. I used to do this a lot, too, like second date, first date even, and be like, this is it. This is my person, you know, and get serious too fast. And it's been a very short while, and it seems to me that you were hoping that if you started dating 2 to 3 times a week that you would figure it out. That, like, this is the thing to make it different, that now you're going to find the good relationship. Now you're going to get out of your patterns and, like, things are going to be different now. And you're just – and it sounds like you're hoping that that's going to be the solution, and it's not.
or actually, like, you're just setting yourself up for a longer path to the same old thing.
Right.
That your major objective is still, like, figure out what I want, who I want,
and find the person.
And find that person.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had a ton of time, I'd want to interview you more on, like, what kind of dates you're having, because the thing you're saying that I relate to, I mean, we all nodded here at I've just been dating to date, is like, okay, I have a weekend coming up and I have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get on Tinder and make some dates out of it. And they're not that creative dates. It's just sort of like three new guys for this weekend.
Right. Right.
Let's go. I'll have coffee, you know, three times over.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, that's not the kind of life I want to live. I love to have coffee with my friends where we already have something invested and we're catching up and moving the relationship along the next level. But, and we've talked about this hundreds of ways on the show so far, but like the cup of, there's a lot you can gather in terms of data over a cup of coffee, but it's, unless that's where you want to like live your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I also have a feeling, Andy, that on these first and second dates, you are getting the women to fall in love with you. I bet that you are acting in the way that you do when you, you know, go into serial monogamy, that you are being the particular way that women will fawn over you. And so I think, I bet that in a very similar way, you are doing this such that you're creating a woman who wants to be your girlfriend after the first date, after the second date.
Mm.
And maybe that's why I feel so slutty, because you are being an emotionally vulnerable slut in three, you know, with three different people a week, as opposed to kind of like, I don't think that you should be like lying or, you know, withholding tons of stuff, but to just like be a little bit more tentative with people, you know, let them reveal themselves more. Don't you be the open, loving, you know, perfect man. Let them prove themselves
to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and really be in that more discerning position.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, also, and not judging yourself for it.
Right.
And you started off, Andy, saying that you don't feel like you're really growing and learning and stretching yourself. But how about taking on some assignments around displeasing?
Yeah.
Around
totally.
Don't
get
no.
these women to fall
in
love with
exactly.
you.
I heard one man say that he went on an assignment. Oh gosh, I think it was to not ask any questions on a date. I don't know that I'm saying that you should do that. But if you're really in it for breaking your patterns and for your own growth,
totally.
Like,
great.
How about being someone different and then learning who you want to be in each moment, so it's a conscious choice.
Yeah, absolutely. How does that sound, Andy?
Oh, so much better. I love it. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, Andy, will you take on one of those assignments?
Definitely. I'm thinking of some other ones too. But yeah, the first one is not revealing, because that hit it on the stone. It's like, yes, I am. That's been the consistent thing. I have awesome first, second, and third dates. I could easily have married, you know, a half dozen people in the last month, but I want more than that. Yeah, that's just a baseline now that I'm just good at dating, you know. So what else is there?
Yeah,
let them come to you more, and I love that part.
Yeah.
So,
I love that. Will you call back and let us know how it goes?
Please do.
Give us an update on your assignment.
Love to. Yep. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, that's great.
That's good.
I mean, I have to say, I relate in like in a million ways to that question.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like, it's such an important one. And just like for the dating community in general, you know, regardless of whether you're a serial dater, serial monogamist, serial whatever, slut, like, I don't know, you know, there are just so many ways that we expect that if we like shift like a surfacey behavior level thing, that, you know, things are going to change. We're going to get what we want. And what Kate was saying earlier about getting to the yearnings is really important, you know, getting to like your beliefs about yourself and just going a little bit deeper so that you're not just recreating the same thing over and over again that just has a different color on it.
Yeah.
Right.
A longer, that was profound to me, a longer path to the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And instead of dating for 1 month to find the guy to fix it, how about dating for 2 years to find the guy to fix it?
Right.
That's not what I want. So there's still some pattern shifting that I have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the two of you said to Andy really struck me, like that the goal, my goal really should be to disturb myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, of course, there are things I want to do about knowing who the person is that I'm going out with and how they match up with my criteria. But the really interesting thing is just how I'm going to be as I show up on the date, how
willing I am to be that person I've not yet become, as opposed to who I've always been, and to not tell my usual stories I tell on first dates or the things that always come up as you're talking about your life, but to really actually be discovering myself, that's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
The hugest, actually.
Totally.
And to kind of let them come along and enjoy me discovering me in their presence and then reflect later, what about them drew that out?
Right.
If anything.
Yes.
That's way more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. Join us tonight, actually, in person. We are hosting a two-hour seminar on social and emotional intelligence. It's led by our very own Chief Vision Realization Officer, Barbara Burgess. She's a coach here as well, and she's done some wonderful work with her husband and her kids, and she's just a lovely person to learn from. You can register for this event at seievent.com. That's SEI, like social emotional intelligence.
And there's an option to attend right here in our training center or online for those of you who are joining us by web from wherever you are. So please do.
Yeah.
And we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Thanks so much.